As you walk through the valley of the shadow of hell, you will see through the fog a bend in reality. A veil that is beyond your own comprehension. It's the other side. Beyond the void.
What's up, guys, and welcome back to Beyond the Void
Horror Podcast.
That's right. My name is Alex.
I'm Christina.
We are Beyond the Void Horror Podcast, and today we're going to be doing episode 370 of a community choice pick that we did on the YouTube community tab, which is between Hard Ticket to Hawaii, which is a so bad it's good action film that I think horror fans will really like, by the way, and Satan's Slave from 1980, the original Satan's Slave, not the Joko Anwar's remake that he did in like the 2000s. This is the original one from Indonesia.
Oh,
so you guys picked unequivocally.
Yeah, thanks.
It was Satan's Slave. So we watched it. We're going to talk about it. We're going to get into some of the history of Indonesia, Joko Anwar, who did the remake. We're going to talk about what people thought about this movie in the theater. Of course, what we think about this weird movie as well. If for any of you that watched the trailer, you kind of know what to expect, but I don't know if you know everything. So we'll get into that. But yeah, Christina, how are you doing? What's going on?
I'm good. Not much is going on. How are you doing?
You sound like an NPC almost.
I am.
Yum, yum, yum. Cherries are delicious. Mmm, cherry, delicious. Roses, oh, how pretty. Oh, how pretty. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
You know, one of those guys that did that, by the way, was a guy by the name of Sneet or something like that. He would NPC Miles Morales Spider-Man. Do you know who that one is?
No.
You don't know who Miles Morales is?
Nope.
The Spider-Man in another universe.
Oh, that was in the comic books.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, Miles Morales is pretty huge, actually.
I didn't read those comic books, so I wouldn't know.
Well, the movie came out, the Spider-Verse movie, the very first one.
Okay.
And it entered the Spider-Verse or whatever, and it was huge. And Miles Morales was a big part of that. And so now he was popular, but now he's like almost more popular than Spider-Man.
Oh.
So, because he's not like, he's got like actual electronic ones on his arms. He has different abilities almost as Spider-Man or whatever. But the kid who did him is like another NPC guy. And he would do it out in public. And people come up to him all the time, I guess. And they were like handing him his phone to like take a picture. And he grabbed the dude's phone, thinking that he would put his Instagram in, and dude knocked him out.
That's weird.
I wouldn't want to do that shit in public anyway, would you? Mmm, cherries. Mmm, 100 times.
Right.
But, you know, I think the reason he started that outside is because it makes it look more realistic. Like he's fighting crime.
Oh, with the buildings and stuff in the
right,
background.
Right, because he'll dress
in
up
the city
as Miles Morales.
Oh,
okay. In a spider suit and everything. And in fact, when he got knocked out, he got taken to the hospital. They cut it off of him, and he was fighting the nurse not to cut it off of him.
Yeah.
So interesting. But yeah, I guess a lot of the NPC stuff is starting to dry up now. So, you know, people are getting more demanding.
Oh.
If you guys don't know what we're talking about, there's this thing on TikTok, okay? where people do a live video and they will basically ask for money. And all they do is just, there's like different emojis and things that pop up on the screen that are like kind of like live action.
Oh, people gift people right. stuff. So they're just thanking them.
They just thank
just
them.
But, over and over. It's
but repetitive. They move like NPCs. They're like, hello, welcome. I can't wait to fight crime. I can't wait to fight crime. You know, they just say things in a very repetitive way. Like they're not there.
Right.
And so these people, like the ones that have been doing it, have been breaking character lately because they're like, this is not enough, guys. You know, like, whoa, he's become aware.
A feral beggar.
I don't know why it's so popular. Like, you know what I mean? Like, So what's up with you? Chris, what's new with you?
Not much. So you could put up a bunch of reviews this week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got a little tired, actually, guys. I don't even remember what I put up, to be honest with you.
You put up the coffee table director's other movie.
Oh, yeah.
You watched that. How was that?
The other movie was different, a little bit different. I did do a review of it if you want to see my full thoughts on it. I like it. It's not the coffee table, though. It's a completely different brand of movie and everything.
He made that movie before the coffee table?
He did it with another guy. Albert Pinto and him teamed up to write and direct it.
And they did that before the coffee table?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they did that in 2017 or 2016. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Something about that I've realized with Kaya Casas, who did the coffee table, and Albert Pinto, who did the movie Nowhere, which was really popular last year on Netflix, about those girls that were in a shipping crate. But yeah, I think that was like a movie that they got lost out at sea. These women or something. I don't really know what it's about. I need to watch it now, though, because I really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was really fun. It's a really smart idea.
Uh-huh.
It's something minimal you can do with a really small budget, but it doesn't look like a tiny movie. You know what I mean? It's a small indie film, but it looks really good. And what it excels at, like, is the acting and the writing. And, you know, it's not one of these, like, laugh all the time movies. You know, it's got that very, you know, European flair humor where it's a little dry and a little dark, which I really like.
Right.
I think it's really good. It's, you know, if you're looking for slapstick comedy like Rob Schneider, you're probably not going to want to watch that. you know, like, you know what my pronouns are? Shut up. I'm just saying, that's how these like these comedians have gotten these days. It's really terrible. Anyway, no cuts in this one. Jeez, I'm going to have a lot of work to do. Anyway, yeah, so what else? Oh, we did that. Oh, we've got a spoiler review coming up of The Coffee Table with my a buddy of mine on TikTok named Chuck, who's been kind of blowing up, and also this guy Justin from Slasher Talk. So if you want to give them a follow on TikTok, you can, as well as us, BTVcast. They're going to be hopping on with our buddies, of course, from the Splattercast, which is Luke and Dylan, which I don't know if they're on TikTok. I think they are, but I don't remember their thing. But you can look them up. We're all supposed to do a big round robin talk about that. And in the process of doing so, I got hit up by Kaya Casas and a guy from a fanzine named Adrian. And they actually hit us up to do an interview.
Oh, nice.
So we're going to be doing an interview with the director of Kaya of the coffee table called Kaya Casas. And we're going to be doing that. And apparently he's friends with Damien Rugna.
That's a friend of yours.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say friend, but he definitely is one of my favorite directors. And right now, Kaya Casas is, anyway. What else, Christine?
Did you see that Russell Crowe trailer for The Exorcist movie?
I was so confused. Exorcist? I thought it was the Vespa one.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Vespa one.
There was the
The Pope's Ex.
Yeah, the Pope's Exorcist. Yeah. Is this the precursor?
I don't know.
It's gotta be.
I don't know, but everybody's like really excited for it. Did you watch the trailer? Well, I didn't watch it.
Because it's gotta be the precursor. I need to look up. I started to watch the trailer earlier and I decided not to, but The Pope's Exorcist, hold on. The Pope's Exorcist was really bad, but the best thing about it was him.
Russell Crowe, yeah.
And I think that might be why he's in this other one, but I don't know.
They say it's a meta horror movie. What does that mean? Meta.
Meta means that it breaks.
Within a, oh, it breaks the universe.
Okay, so have you ever seen In the Mouth of Madness?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
that's a meta movie.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's a book within a story that is existing within a book that doesn't exist in reality, and you are part of reality or not real part, you know, that.
It's called The Exorcism.
Yeah, whatever.
The Exorcism.
And whatever.
And Shudder has its hands on it, too, so.
And does it say it's a prequel?
No.
So it's not The Pope's Exorcist.
I don't know.
Because the Pope's Exorcist was actually based off a real guy.
Right.
Who was the Vatican's exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's doing another movie, which just blows me away, because all I can think of is him driving around in a fucking van, smashing people. Well, the Vespa, too.
What was that movie?
The Pope's Exorcist is the Vespa.
No, what was the movie where he was road raging, unhinged? That was so fun.
We need to watch that.
That was so fun.
That's a great Russell Crowe freak out movie. If you like Nicolas Cage freak out movies, you got to watch Unhinged. Because that's a Russell Crowe freak out movie, yeah. And you got to see it.
It's funny.
It's like, this is Sparta all over that motherfucker. Only like way more unhinged with a big old fat beer belly. Anyway, but I think it might be time for us to jump into our movie. So we're going to go ahead and jump into one of Indonesia's most treasured films from the 80s. And one that was remade by Joko Anwar for a very successful, most successful movie of all time in Indonesia, by the
way. Oh, wow.
There's two things it won in that regard, but we'll get into that. But this one, we're going to go back to the original, which is Satan's Slave, not plural, 1980. We're going to go ahead and do that right now. All right, Christina, let's get into this.
Okay, Satan's Slave was released in Indonesia January 31st, 1980.
Where can you watch it?
You can watch it on Tubi.
Okay.
After the death of his wife, a businessman and his two kids are plagued with visions of ghosts and demons. And soon, people around them start to die, which all started after the arrival of their new and mysterious fortune-telling housekeeper.
She's a bunch of things. This is written and directed by Siswaro Gautama Putra, who is a guy who did the movie. Actually, I got the translated version of this because they called it in Indonesia that as well. Packed with the Forces of Darkness.
Ah. Oh.
He also did Primitive. He did Jaka Sambong, who the guy that acted in that movie became a huge Indonesian action star.
Oh.
And there's like, I forget what other movie we watched recently, and it might have been that Malaysian film that we watched.
Uh-huh.
The robo, whatever, the fucking lady.
Lady Terminator?
Lady Terminator,
oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, was in that?
Yeah, it was, they were talking about the same, because Indonesia is a big area,
yeah.
You know, so he became famous, and then he wasn't in Santet 1 and 2, but Visual Vengeance. Vinegar Syndrome just put this out on 1 and 2, and I want to buy it so bad. But I almost did today, and I decided that I would get the box set of the Houses of Doom because it was super rare. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, the Houses of Doom is a Cauldron Films movie that I bought that was way too expensive, and I shouldn't have done it. But I've been wanting to get the House of Clocks, which Lucio Fulci. I like to collect all Lucio Fulci stuff, and I don't have everything of his. And there was another one about kids. They're all house movies.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an Umberto Lenzi film in there and another film. And then there's two discs in there. But I got that instead of the Santet 1 and 2. And I was also going to get Ghost Nursing, but I decided against it. So anyway, I like to take risks. It reminds me of that corn CD thing I was telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the CD store and buying stuff and then like being like, oh my God, Satan's Slave. There's the cover, by the way. Pretty cool, actually. And I don't even know if it has the reversible in here, does it? Oh, it does.
Oh, does it? Oh, you can't see it.
I didn't. No, this isn't the original.
Oh.
I'll show it to you guys, though.
Rawr.
I kind of like the new one, to be honest. So that's the director who did this movie. The screenwriter is Imam Tantawi. He was the actual screenplay writer. And the reason I'm telling you guys this is because he wrote it and he didn't even like horror movies. And he was an assistant director as well on this. And he didn't get credit for it because he was considered a company man.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So all of his, like, kind of like how Tesla was to Thomas
choose.
Edison yeah, hired Edison. Tesla. And right. And everything that he did was under Thomas Edison's, like, inventions.
Right.
But Tesla was the genius behind it all. Kind of like how Elon Musk tries to act like he's an inventor. Kind of like that. Anyway, so Iman, it wasn't anything hostile like that. It was just he was a company man. That's how he did. He worked for this company.
Right.
He wrote it. They wanted him to work on it. But when they sat around the table to do their first reading, they did pitch in a few extra ideas, those people that you wrote down.
Oh,
but I'm not going to go over all of them. So, yeah. Some of the people in the cast in here are Ruth Palupsi, who was Darmina, and she was the housekeeper Darmina. They're all Darmina, by the way.
Right.
They weren't different names. We were just getting confused.
Right.
Because sometimes she was nice and sometimes she was evil.
Right.
She was in Perumpuan Bargaya, which I have no idea what these names are. She was in Ferocious Female Freedom Fighters Part 2. That's really funny. Part 2. And she was also in another movie called Membakar Matahari. This also stars W.D. Mokhtar, who was pretty famous in the Indonesian market of films. He was in, he plays Munarto, who was in Operation X from 1968, Gundala Putra Petir from 1981, and Apti Dibukit Menore. Is this all one word, all one thing here?
Yep.
Apti Dibukit Menore. Goog Moya. You know what? Christina, fuck you.
That's the name of the
She
movie.
Writes this shit down and expects me to say that? She's like, he's good at it. He knows what he's doing. No, I don't.
You sound like you know what you're
doing. I'm trying. I just feel like I'm butchering it now. So anyway.
But that's the name of the movie. What do you want me to do?
All right. Well, if it's too complex like that, maybe we just don't skip over it, you know, or use it.
Should have seen the other ones.
I don't think anybody's going to know what the fuck I'm talking about.
No.
But yeah.
No, none of these. So
we got Fakhrul Rozi, who plays Tommy, T-O-M-I, by the way. He was in Nila Dagon Pute and Putre Sirang Jendral and Yuja Dalam Gezholak. I think that's how you say it. 1986. Jesus Christ. We also have Simon Cater, who plays Herman, and Siska Widawati Plumrita, who plays Rita. The sister?
Yeah, the sister. Rita was the sister.
But yeah, that's pretty much everything in there. You may, or if you know them, hey, that's awesome. I'm not familiar with a lot of these except W.D. Mokhtar. But yeah, Christina, what did you think of this fine film?
Was it fine? It was rough. It was a rough watch.
I watched it twice, so I don't want to hear it.
Well, that's not my fault. It was a rough watch. It was hard to get engaged with the story because it was so slow and it was not interesting to me. I think my expectations were a little bit high. I thought I wanted it to be like crazy Satanist sucking the blood of children out their butt or something. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, more action packed. You mean?
Yeah, more action packed.
More attacks.
But yeah, I couldn't even like engage with the characters.
Okay.
Like I didn't feel anything for the characters at all. Like they're boring. They were uninteresting. The characters were not interesting. And towards the end of the movie, to me, it was gearing towards like religious propaganda because it was about a family who was a bunch of atheists whose mom died.
Oh, yeah.
So then
it was almost like a church, like a religious propaganda film. I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? But yeah, and it was like, so you have this family of atheists and because they're atheists and a family member died, now the evil witch has to come and convert them and make them know that evil is real.
Hey,
which
you know,
makes no fucking sense to me.
A lot of different cultures might have like things like that where they tell their kids that just so they stay, you know.
That's why I said it was propaganda. Because it doesn't make any fucking sense. But the only good thing about this film the atmosphere of it, and it had like a good score, especially towards the, you really could feel like the eeriness of the ghosts, even though the ghosts didn't really look like, they weren't like scary or anything. They were just like in white. That's
I think they would be scary for kids back in the day.
Well, back then, but we're watching it right now.
Right.
And there's one special effects scene, which was really cool, especially for the time. And I'm sure like you'll get, we'll get into that more. So I won't like spoil anything, but I was impressed with that one, special effects scene. I thought it was cool, but honestly, I'll never watch this again. It was too boring. It was too slow. It was uninteresting. I don't know. I give it like a 4 out of 10.
Okay. I mean, I understand for you, for especially. Yeah.
I was disappointed too. You, I wanted crazy.
You have a hard time watching Italian horror films.
Yeah, I do, because they're boring.
Yeah, well, yeah, because they're all boring. It's not. You can't say that.
I can't even watch the original Suspiria. Boring.
Okay. Well, it is technically not. It's just a different style. And you're not used to that style. Personally,
I don't like that style.
It's a very serious style. That's what it is.
Boring.
It's not as realistic like as they make films now, where it kind of loses all the atmosphere and stuff in movies, because everything has to be so matter of fact and so like not formal. Nah. You know what I mean?
Was this your first time watching this?
Yeah, I've seen the 2017 remake. Well, it's technically a prequel.
Yeah, I was gonna say, isn't that a prequel?
It's technically, but it was considered a remake when they were doing it.
Did you like that one?
Yeah, that's why it got me to this one.
Oh, okay.
Because I was like, oh, I want to see where it came from, because there's two.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, and in order for me to watch part one, or in order for me to finish the year off, I think it was 2002 or 2023. 22 or 23, one of those years, whenever, order for me to finish that year, I had to watch the first and the second one because Shudder had put up the second one.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think it was last year and it just barely missed the cusp.
Oh, of your list.
I am a huge fan of Queen of Black Magic, who Joko Anwar did.
Oh, okay.
I really like it, but this is the movie that set the path for those other movies.
Oh, okay.
He also did like Impetigore. Grave Torture, which is coming out, and he's doing some new show, which is like a mini series where they do like an episode like Twilight Zone, but in horror.
Okay.
It's going to be called Nightmares and Daydreams.
When does that come out? I want to watch that.
I don't know, but I looked it up and I thought it was the Stephen King thing that we got.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's Nightmares and Dreamscapes.
Oh, Dreamscapes. Yeah.
Anyway, so while this movie, and I wrote this stuff down because I really wanted to be well thought out, because my first initial reaction of this movie was not very fond. There were some things that I really did like in the movie when I first started out, and one of those things is the music.
Right.
But, you know, this is a very slow, quiet, kind of boring at times movie throughout. Mm-hmm. It definitely is one of the better looking Indonesian films, just by how it looks. Like, and I don't mean just how the clarity or anything.
Mm-hmm.
The actual footage that they shot is a lot of wide shots, which you don't really see. A lot of people like get in there too close, mm-hmm. I think, with a lot of the films that I've seen anyway. It definitely is one of the better looking ones, horror films especially. And it has a style about it that I think really works with this film. It also has a lot of atmosphere, like you were saying, to it as well. And I think that's in part because of the stylish camera work that they do in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the camera shots that they do with it. There's nothing like too overcomplicated for the 80s, mm-hmm. you know, at least 1980 or 1979, whenever this was made. But it's a little bit ahead of its time in some areas. I was noticing things that other movies have done since then.
Oh, yeah.
That this movie was doing. It wasn't doing it perfectly, but somebody later on
did it a little bit better.
Yeah. It's one of those kind of things. This movie does borrow from other movies though too, so we'll get into that too. But for me, they had this like sort of late 70s synth weird like experimental sounds going on, and I'm sure that, you know, it wasn't something like super well thought out in a way, but it really works with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And in some moments I was just kind of eerie. It was just eerie, you know. The movie itself is not that scary though. But I loved the soundtrack for it. I thought, you know, so many movies don't get that aspect right about a movie, is that having that suspense and that sound and that eeriness, even if it's just experimental sounding, it goes, it helps to kind of make the viewer feel something, you know? Mm-hmm. One of my favorite movies that has one of the best 70s kind of thing going for it that I've seen thus far is Burial Ground, which is that zombie film.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And I love the soundtrack in that movie. It's really kind of experimental too, but not as experimental as this one.
Mm-hmm.
That one nails it though. This one's a little bit like that. It's not as good, but it's still cool. It's reminiscent.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that soundtrack was probably one of the better ones for this particular movie, or Indonesian films in general. But I think it does do a lot right and much better than many other Indonesian films that I can think of off the top of my head, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like an art film in some ways, but also kind of like a schlock film in other ways. So it's like really very different kind of styles mashed together into one.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually really appreciate it. Some of the actual handheld shots they even did, like where they actually were walking up to the stairs to kind of add this like element of evil or something lurking around the house. Lurking
around the corner.
Right. That's something I noticed the second time I watched it that I appreciated.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It didn't really have that impact the first time I watched it.
Right.
So, you know, there's, you know, Sam Raimi's notorious for doing that in his films.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having handheld, doing weird, like, camera flips and, like, you know, doing it to the sound design and stuff like that. We don't have anything as clever in that in here, mm-hmm. but I'm just saying that, you know, there are some shots in this movie that are very fucking reminiscent of some Raimi shit before Raimi did it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the scene of the hand coming out of the ground.
Uh-huh.
Is totally Evil Dead 2.
Oh, okay.
There's even a fucking cross or a, you know, funeral, like a marker for like a grave.
Right.
We would put a cross. They put a fucking like white tag with like a, it's not a cross because they're not Christian.
Right.
It's Muslim.
Right.
So, but either way, I think it gives the movie sort of an outsider looking feel so that there's like this, like you're like a outsider watching inside this movie a little bit, which is kind of an interesting technique. It's really far too lightly brightly lit. It's super like fucking bright in a lot of areas that could have been
that shouldn't have been. Yeah.
There's one that was decent that was less light and it was still too bright, which was the one with Vartos, their groundskeeper,
mm-hmm.
who was also like a security guard and like a helper. I don't know.
I called him the gatekeeper.
He was weird. He was like a town idiot, but also like
their servant.
Yeah, it was weird. I don't know what he was, but. I thought the practical effects on the creatures, like the zombies and the ghosts and stuff in this movie, mm-hmm. were really pretty good.
Oh, I didn't.
I thought they were a far ahead of their time. This was done before Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Evil Dead was 82, 83.
Mm-hmm.
They might have done it in Within the Woods in like 80s.
I don't know.
I'm just saying.
I didn't think it was that good for the time.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just saying, I looked everything up it reminded me of,
right.
and everything was after it.
Right.
So.
Oh, I don't know.
My point is that somebody might have taken this film or seen it.
And done it better. Right.
Yeah. And it seems like that's what's happened. Even the guy who wrote it was like, yeah, there's other movies that have done better than it since.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I personally feel like this is, if you're an Italian horror fan, you'll probably like this a little bit more, tolerate it more than most people because it is boring. Okay. It wears a lot of like it could have had zombie. It's seen the movie Zombie from Fulci.
Yeah.
Because Dawn of the Dead came out in 78. And then Fulci did his movie Part 2, Zombie 2, a.k.a. Zombie. And it has some of the similarities to a lot of Fulci's stuff in it. Like, Fulci was always good at, like, zoom shots. I forget what they're called. I'm calling them zoom shots because I'm just not... I'm pretty sure that's what they're called. But... they basically will focus on an object from far away and then zoom in on their face. It's mm-hmm. like this effect to give it like this atmosphere and to kind of like accentuate like fear or something like that. But they were doing a lot of it. When I watched it the second time, I was like, holy shit, dude, there's a lot of these. There's one where they zoom back from like an ambulance light mm-hmm. and then zoom in on a person's face just next to the light.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, wink, 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 wink. And it was doing that a lot after I noticed it. I was like, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. Which is good if you want to keep the movie seem a little bit more interesting than what it is. But if it's too much, then it becomes right. kind of distracting.
Right.
But yeah, I feel like it got some inspiration from Fulci in it. It obviously got some inspiration from Salem's Lot. Mm-hmm. That's what Joko Anwar was saying. But even if it does have a few things that it borrows from, which a lot of Indonesian films did, you know, because they didn't have a huge booming industry like we did. Mm-hmm. It still might be, you know, doing some things right, but it's still kind of boring. And that's the problem. That's the unfortunate thing about this movie is that it created a great atmosphere. It created some pretty good shots. The acting was not stellar, but, you know, it is fine for the time. You know, it's nothing.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be award-winning.
And it's not an S-Big film either.
No.
So a So Bad It's Good film, like where you were hoping to laugh, which is kind of what I was kind of hoping for.
That was my expectation.
But this is a very serious film, and this very was meant serious. To scare people, and boy, did it. I'll tell you some more in the trivia,
propaganda.
But I think it just relies on the viewer's imagination, kind of like how Blair Witch did in the times when we right. watched that.
Right.
You know, people watch it now, and they're like, I don't even understand. He just stood there. Well, what's he doing?
He's gotta follow
was he peeing in the corner?
You got to follow the river
yeah.
to get out of there. You got to follow the river.
All right. You don't want to get the curse on you. Anyway, but I don't know. I think a lot of people might be bored to tears with this one if you're not well-versed in like Italian cinema or stuff like it anyway. You know what I mean? Like if you've seen like a lot of like Italian films that didn't have a big budget, were trying to be scary and it wasn't necessarily scary. It may have been back then, but not now. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a hard time. But if you've seen a lot of these old films and you're a fan of them, this might be an okay one. I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it. Mm-hmm. You know, it brought a lot of Indonesian crowds to the cinemas. Like a lot of people were really crazy about it. It got a sequel that's even better than it. Mm-hmm. And it's scary as hell. Like there's some really fucking scary Indonesian films nowadays.
Yeah, there
and
is.
Part of that is because of this movie.
Right, kicking it off.
Right, yeah. So you have to have some sort of respect for this movie, even if you don't like it. And right. that's kind of how I've always felt.
Yes, it has.
About Blair movies, Witch yeah. and, you know, a lot of movies, really. Like, mm-hmm. they sometimes are not they're not a rewatchable punch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know, I'd probably give it a 5.5. All things said and done. As an overall score, not an S-Big score. A 5.5, mm-hmm. because I respect it enough to give it a little more than just average, because it obviously did things that are not average, or this whole fucking Indonesian market wouldn't have blown up. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, looking back on it, it didn't really grow, you know, with its audience.
Right.
So it's kind of a little dated technique-wise and all this other stuff. So mm-hmm. I don't know. It just is. That's the way it is. So we do have some trivia on you know, what it drove the audiences mad and how people like, you know, like freaked out about it, how Joko Anwar felt about it. And I'll go over all that stuff with you now. So you gave it a 4. I gave it a 5.5. So a 4.75 between the two of us.
Right.
So it's, you know, caution. You might not like this one, but if you're a fan of horror and you know the slow stuff might be cool and you like history, I'm actually happy I got this because of the extras on the disc on top of it. Because they have Joko Anwar's shorts that mm-hmm. he made to make the remake.
Oh.
And we're going to talk about that too. So, but if you don't want anything spoiled, check it out on Tubi for yourself. Or you can pick it up from Severin if you want. I think there's still copies available of it. Not a hugely popular film on Severin, but so you might be able to get a copy. But yeah, if you don't want anything spoiled, here is your warning. So some of the trivia on this is Joko Anwar, who did the remake of this movie or the prequel.
Uh-huh.
He actually said that this was one of the biggest movies in his entire life.
Oh, I bet.
He said this was, you know, this movie was everything to him when he grew up. It mm-hmm. scared the piss out of him. I think he said that he only got to see it in 1990.
Because it's probably reruns on TV or something like that.
No, I think he said he saw it in a theater.
Uh-huh.
I think they repressed it or reprinted it on DVD or something.
Mm-hmm.
But he had never seen it before, you know, and he watched it and it scared the crap out of him. He said all he could think about was that in his head, like scenes with the zombies, like Vartos, yeah, like reaching out and stuff. I mean,
slowly reaching out.
That shot of the window of the mom coming to the window and floating at it is exactly like the Stephen King story of Salem's Lot, where the kid flies up to the window. And a lot of vampire movies have used it, including Buffy's Vampire,
mm-hmm.
or the Buffy the Vampire Slayer,
right.
which did it.
Right.
There's tons of other Italian horror movies that were influenced by it. So, yeah, it's not surprising that Salem's Lot, or I mean Satan's Slave, was actually inspired by it too. So
makes sense.
But he said he'd always wanted to remake Satan's Slave, but he felt like he needed to earn the right to do it. And, you know, he had made some other drama films and like some really good films, like mm-hmm. nothing wrong with his films. They were really popular and stuff. But the Roppy Films Company, who owned and made Satan's Slave, was not too thrilled with picking him to be a horror director
mm-hmm.
because he had no history of it.
Right.
You know, he was a kind of a working man trying to do some good films, but mm-hmm. not horror.
Right.
Which he loved. They said no to him a whole bunch because of that. And he just kept bothering him about it. He just kept telling his friends who worked for Roppy Films to tell them. He told them. And then they decided that they were going to make a remake of it. They even had a cover, a poster for it. And he flipped out.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, what the fuck? I mean, he didn't say that. I'm not, you know.
Right.
But he got really mad and he said, you know, I'm going to have to do something quick. And so he made these two short films that I was talking about that are on here that made his remake happen.
Oh, okay.
One of them was like a horror short about this girl cutting off her eyelids, which was really crazy.
Ow.
And then another one was of like this girl that was like, it was an homage to Satan's Slaves or Satan's Slave. They actually were like, hey, you still want to do it? If so, we'll let you direct it.
Oh, okay.
And so he was like, yes, finally. And mm-hmm. you know, they said, well, tell us your idea. So he did. He told the whole thing from beginning to end and said, let's, they were like, okay, I like that. Let's do this. So he didn't want to touch the original content. He didn't want to work over it. He wanted to kind of honor it by doing its own prequel sort of to it.
Oh, okay.
And so it connects to the material.
So did you like the other one better than this one?
I mean, yeah. It's much more modern.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
You know, it's just one of those things. It didn't age well.
Mm-hmm.
It's still, you can see the early inklings of what would become.
Right.
And I'm sure, like, the people, they were saying, like, the writer was saying that people were freaking the fuck out when they saw this movie.
Oh, wow.
They invited the reporters to come see this movie in an early screening.
Mm-hmm.
And they were screaming so loud that the screams of them screaming were scaring each other. So, you know, and then theaters had a very similar reaction as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, reporters might have did it up a little to try to.
Yeah.
Also marketing. Because they're not horror fans.
Right.
You know, so that might have really scared them.
Right.
You know, something like us, which we've seen it all. It's like.
Takes a lot.
Yeah, it takes a whole lot. So, but yeah, that's how he got the film. It became the most successful film of all time in Indonesia and the most successful R-rated film of all time.
Oh, wow.
At the time in Indonesia.
Wow.
So
crazy.
I don't know how the Black Magic Queen or Queen of Black Magic did, which highly recommend watching that.
I like that too.
It's got some shoddy CGI work in it, but there are some scenes in that movie that genuinely creep me the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking, what was that other Indonesian film? Make the Devil Wait or something like that.
Oh, I don't
remember. The Devil Take You.
Oh, May the Devil Take You, yeah.
And then May the Devil Take You 2, which I didn't like as much as the first one. Still good. Probably around the same area as these movies good. Like, well, not this movie, but the remake or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Highly recommend you check out the Queen of Black Magic, though. That had a kid scene in the movie that really tripped me. I mean, it scared me. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really get scared that much. And that just, like, I was like, what the fuck? There's a scene with all the masks. Do you remember that? Where Tommy's, yes, like, meditating. I don't know why, but I guess Tommy is a very young meditator. And I guess it's part of their non-religion?
Because it doesn't make sense. Because he went to the fortune teller, and the fortune teller said, you need to practice black magic. So literally, the horror masks and the comic books was black magic.
Right, because that at the time of satanic panic and everything.
Yeah, so that was him doing the black magic. God.
Literally horror magazines are like, you will not have this no more. It's like literally akin to having like a horror t-shirt on the ground.
And it was like Vincent Price on the magazine or something.
It was like horror zine. And there was a couple other things that I saw that were older from other countries too. Like, it was just really silly.
It was silly.
And his dad's like, you will no longer have this. And then takes it away.
I actually read that. Because I was reading about the movie this morning, and then, they said that stuff was in there because that was the black magic. I was like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense.
I thought that was a cool scene, though, but it's just really weird because, like, he stares at the mask, and then the mask turn into cult members that take him down to a subterraneous level through a white hallway, by the way.
That looked like a hospital.
It looked like a hospital, and then they end up in an altar room where they try to stab him. The Darmina, the housekeeper / fortune teller, literally tries to kill him. Mm-hmm. And by the way, do you know what her motive is? We don't find out until the very end.
Oh my God, it's so stupid.
But they hint at it a couple of times. Because Herman, her boyfriend or friend, seems like he's going to be her boyfriend or something.
Yeah, the boyfriend.
He's like,
you gotta get Charmin.
Watch out. You gotta watch out for the evil spirits because they're going to get you for not being religious. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like that's what the culture was. Mm-hmm. And so this movie has a very Muslim message, by the way. Mm-hmm. So it has like Muslim prayers that they do in the very beginning and literally the entire end of the movie.
Right.
Like just like for 10 minutes. Over
again.
But it's like they wanted to like end cap it.
Yeah. Did you notice that? Because that's what I think it was. That's what this movie was about. And
the whole movie starts off with a fucking funeral.
Right.
With his mom. Mm-hmm.
Who's dead.
And you hear the Muslim prayers, and they buried her really weird. Did you notice that?
I just thought it was the culture.
So I don't know if I didn't look this up, but I forgot. They dug a 6-foot deep hole, but then they burrow out a little bit of the side, and they roll the body up into that side. Then they put boards that are slanted sort of like at a like 70-degree angle, and then they fill the dirt. They put the boards all the way across her entire body, across the whole length of the grave, and then they pour the dirt over top of it, and then they put flowers over top of it. But I had never seen it. Like that's their box or something.
Yeah, because they probably want to be one with the earth.
I don't know what it is. I would.
That's why I was saying it. It's probably just a cultural thing.
So the screenwriter of this movie, he was saying that that his son helped him write up the script. Not like from the creative part, but like after it was done, he didn't have a computer.
Uh-huh.
So he had his son type it up on the computer.
Oh.
And he paid him. And his dad was like, oh, yeah, I'll do it. No problem, Dad. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll make some money and do a couple pages. Just keep doing it. And so he did. And then as he's typing, he was like, wait a second. Dad, is this a horror film? He started getting creeped out as he was watching it, as he was typing it. Uh-huh. And he was like, nah, I can't finish this. So he had to hire somebody else to do it or something like that. He thought that was really funny.
That is funny.
He's like, it's so funny because this movie's not that scary anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the way he was making it seem. But yeah, that's pretty much everything about Satan's Slave. And then you could, of course, watch the prequel, which I didn't know that this was, I thought Satan's Slaves was the actual remake of this movie. So I think they do allude to the family coming at the very end that the first movie was in.
Oh, okay.
So, and it's been a while since I see it, and I get it and Impetigore and Queen of Black Magic all messed up.
Oh, yeah.
Because they all have very similar stories.
Mm-hmm.
They're really not that different. It's all black magic and it's all fucking like, right. You know, they're all mixed
evil.
Together. Yeah, yeah. There's always some fucking house and there's always some fucked up thing that happens in the house. And then mm-hmm. people move in and bad shit happens. That's mm-hmm. in Impetigore, in fucking every one of these movies, literally.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the May the Devil Take You, it's the same thing.
Right.
Part one and two.
Devil's pretty scary.
But, you know, if you want to watch some serious spook house movies that'll freak you the fuck out, highly recommend checking out any of those, really. A lot of them have really good thing. I would say my favorite's Queen of Black Magic, May the Devil Take You, and maybe Satan's Slaves.
Slaves.
Yeah, I don't think the sequel to the Satan's Slave 2 called The Communion. Uh-huh. I can't remember if I liked it more than the first.
Oh, okay.
It's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
It was when I was rushing to get all those movies in at the end of the year. Mm-hmm.
That doesn't help.
So it just becomes a blur after a while. Your memory's not as...
right. Fine-tuned.
So... Sorry, Christina. Like, I bought it on a whim. I wanted to get cultured and know my history of these movies.
You're cultured now. You're cultured.
Hey, I am. I learned a lot about Joko Anwar. I learned a lot about the director. You know, mm-hmm. everything. So, but yeah, next week, I don't know. We could do Hard Ticket to Hawaii. I really think.
I don't trust you now.
No.
I don't trust this any one, of you now.
You watch the trailer on this. Watch the trailer on it before you say it right now, because you can't say. When you watch that trailer, you're going to laugh your ass off.
We'll see.
I did. We might do that next week. We'll let you know on the social medias next week. But yeah, stay locked to that. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode, watching this episode. You can, of course, watch it on YouTube or listen to it anywhere on the podcast. Share it with a friend, especially the video if you could, or the podcast. Doesn't matter. But thanks for coming by, and as always,
long live the void.